Today's scripture reading is Psalm 19, 7 to 10, and 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To that scripture, and it's more important than gold or silver or crypto. You think we should add that? Okay. Well, over these last 4 weeks, we have delved into a very rich symbol that is in scripture, that says so much about who God is to us and to our world. For we have lifted up and given thanks that God is our solid rock, that God is dependable, that God is our shelter, a refuge in the storm or in our day of trouble, and calls us to be these things to others as we live out our lives in this world. Well, that's a pretty big order, don't you think? How in the world can you and I be providers for all of the many needs in the world? How can we be a saving help, a shelter from someone's day of trouble? What do we do because we are redeemed? Because that's kind of the theme of today, that God is our redeemer. Well, what does it mean to be redeemed? It's a biblical word, and it means to purchase or to ransom. Historically, we thought of redemption, it was used in reference to the purchase of a slave's freedom. A slave was redeemed when the right price was paid for his or her freedom. God spoke of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt in this way. He said, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery. I like to think of being redeemed in this way. So often as human beings, you know, we get caught up in habits that are less than our best, and we live sometimes, you could even say we're enslaved to lesser ways of being and of living. We do not always do what is best for ourselves or for others. God calls this sin, by the way. Well, God knows this too. And Jesus came to let us know that even in the midst of our sin, all is not lost. Even when we're living in less than our best selves, even on our worst day of doing that, God won't give up on you. That God's great love will always bring us back, will always ransom us, will always purchase us from our own worst selves. We are set free. You and I, we're redeemed. And that's good news. As the psalm puts it, the law of the Lord, that's perfect. It revives the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I never heard it put that way, rejoicing the heart. I like that. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. So when you and I take the time and have the intent to embrace the freedom that is given to us, we gain wisdom. And our hearts do rejoice, and the eyes of our hearts are enlightened. So today I want to think with you about the importance of what it means to embrace our freedom to be God's best hope for what we can do as we live out of our best selves by the redemption of our God. Okay, I got to put this aside for a minute and pull out the rocking chair, you know. How many of you have one of these at home? Yeah, a few of you. My grandmother used to love to rock in her rocking chair, and it looked a whole lot like this one. And I'd see her sitting there, and she had this thing that she did with her feet, and it was always the same. She'd always put that foot out first and just sit there and rock. And some days I knew she was just resting. She'd been cooking or cleaning, and she just sat down to rest a while. And sometimes I'd see her shaking her head like this, and I knew she was troubled. And sitting in this rocking chair was a calming thing for her. Sometimes it made her feel peaceful. And then there were those days when I'd see her and she would be insistently rocking. And that's when you knew, go outside to play today. Yeah, okay. Well, that was Grandma's rocking chair. And I learned to love that chair and what she did in it. And I could tell when she was working out a problem by the way she gave more push to each rock. Well, you know, it's been said about the church that many times we see the church like a rocking chair. It comforts us, it calms us. To be in the presence of God and others who know us and care for us, it helps us find a rhythm for our lives by coming here, but it can also, if we stay in our rocking chair, limit our faithfulness. If all we want to do is come here and find calm and peace for our lives, that's not the only point of being the church. It's one of the points, but it's not the only point of being the church. Now, I'm going to be a little harsh with you. Well, I'm not, but this Krister Stendel, who I never heard of before, but I read this, something he had written. He's a Lutheran pastor who teaches in a Lutheran seminary, and he's got some criticism for the church. This is what he said. The church is like a little old grandmother in a rocking chair, constant movement without any progress. Now, I am a little old grandmother that just sat in that rocking chair, but hopefully we're doing some things. We're getting on the road. We're getting some things done. We are starting here. He goes on to say, most people see the church as the last bastion of tradition and of good old values. Patience is supposed to be the supreme virtue of Christianity, but he says Jesus was not a patient man. He was a pushy man. Think about that for a while. The church must get rid of the image of religion as a security blanket. Otherwise, judging from current statistics, he said, it is obvious that all too soon the church will not only have nobody to speak to, but nothing to say. So I want to say today, Hazelwood Christian Church, do you want to be a rocking chair church, or do you want to be a rockin' church? I'm not just talking about rockin' music, because I know there are all kinds of opinions about that. And you know, rockin' music is good, but I'm talking about that edgy, insistent business of getting things done for the sake of God in this world while it is our time, our turn to be the church here and now. Jesus showed us over and over again what it meant to follow him. He kept saying, you have to lose your life. And then he did. His disciples left all the comforts of home, no rocking chairs for them. They were on the road, and along with Jesus, they made a lot of things happen for the sake of the love of God in this world. When you came in today, you chose a rock. Everybody got one? And it's a touchstone. Have you ever heard that word before? A touchstone, a stone that you come back to and you touch it, or it doesn't have to be a stone, it could be anything. A touchstone that you come back to and touch to remember, to be reminded of something. To be the best that you can be, let this touchstone remind you of God being your rock and your being a rock for others. To be the best that you can be for the sake of God, to remind you that you are redeemed, you are set free to live out of your best self. Let it remind you of these truths. Put it maybe in your car, I don't know where you put it, or by your bed, or in your pocket or purse, somewhere that it can nudge you to listen to God, to be reminded, and then just as the disciples followed Jesus, to follow God's way. Know this, if you are living your life knowing you are free to be the best version of who God created you to be, you are success in God's heart and experience. It's what makes you rich in the fullness of abundant faith and life as a person and as a church. You can be any size and you can be rich in God's purposes and love. All the small ways that we as the church minister to each other and the world, all those small ways count. All the big ways we do that count too. It's just that sometimes we don't see the richness of what we are doing. It makes all the difference when you do this between being a rocking chair church and a rockin' church. You know, ministers have their favorite stories, and I want to tell you one of my favorite stories about a young man who set out one day on a journey. And it was a beautiful day, and he was admiring the wonderful scenery around him, and he was on his way somewhere. He was on his way to this rich city that lay beyond three valleys that he had to cross in order to get to the big city where he wanted to go. Because he'd heard about this city all of his life. Many people in his village had talked about it, but none had ventured to it and ever returned to tell about whether the stories were true or if it was really that great. And so here he was on this journey, and the first valley, he looked over this valley, and it was just beautiful. The grass was so green compared to his old village. He was now about a day's walk away, and the valley had a small stream running through it, and there were flowers along the bank. And so he sat down by the bank of the river, and he opened up his knapsack and took out some cheese and bread and a drink, and he enjoyed his simple lunch in these beautiful surroundings. And he kept wondering about the city he was heading towards. And after lunch, he continued on his way. Well, nighttime came and he reached the edge of the second valley, but it was too dark for him to appreciate its beauty. So he opened his knapsack and he took out his blanket and settled there by the river for the night. He dreamt about the rich city that night and how much better his life would be if he could get there and move there. And it was a long and good dream. Well, the sun rose the next morning and the birds were singing in the hedges and the trees around him. And so the young man got up and stretched and let his eyes drink in all of the beauty that surrounded him in that second valley. And it was just glorious. And he walked to the edge of the small river and he saw there were fish in it. So he caught some for his breakfast. And so after having cooked and eaten the fish, the young man crossed that river and continued his journey. And he came upon another person for the first time. He came upon an old man asleep at the side of the path. And so he asked the man, "Do you need any help?" And the old man was very weak. And his reply was short. And he said, "I am beyond help, but thank you. But I will give you some advice," he said. "Collect as many stones and pebbles as you can before you cross the next river." And the young man was puzzled by this. He said, "Why?" But the old man had gone back into a deep sleep and couldn't respond. So the young man continued walking, but was wondering, "Why do I need to collect stones?" So he thought of possible reasons, and he noticed two or three little pebbles in the path. So he picked them up and put them in his pocket, and it was a long road. And so he kept walking, and every now and then he'd see a pebble and he'd pick it up and put it in his pocket. And pretty soon his pockets were getting heavy. And so he thought, I can't just keep picking up every pebble I see. And so, you know, it'd get too heavy and I couldn't carry them all if I carried more. Well, hours later, he reached the third valley, and it too was very lush. And it too had a wide river running through it. And the river was not very deep, but maybe waist high. But the current in that river was very strong. And the young man knew to get to the city he wanted to go to, he'd have to cross that river. So he braced himself, and he struggled as he crossed that river against the current and almost slipped on a couple of occasions when he would surely have been washed down the river if he had fallen, even perhaps drowning. But he finally made it to the other bank. And he rested and carried on with his journey. And after an hour or so, he put his hand in his pocket and he realized, oh yeah, I still have those pebbles. And he pulled them out of his pocket, and he could not believe his eyes because all those stones and pebbles, they turn into precious gems, rubies and sapphires, emeralds, diamonds. Well, the young man wished now he'd filled all of his pockets and his knapsack with those stones and pebbles. Imagine how rich he would be now. But it was pointless to go back across the river again. It would waste too much time, and it was kind of dangerous. He didn't want to have to cross that river again. So he carried on to the city, only to find people in the city were not what he thought it was about. They were poor, as they too failed to heed the advice given by the old man. You know what those pebbles are, don't you? The small ways that we experience God, that we receive the love of God, that we love God back, that we love our neighbors, all those things are like collecting small pebbles. They may seem like small value at the time, but who knows when they will turn into precious gems, golden nuggets. For that's who our God is. God has a way of blessing who we are and what we do out of our love for God. God has a way of turning small things into treasure. And that's what makes life beautiful and rich and rewarding. So, take this small stone and put it in your pocket or wherever you can see it often. Take it with you as you journey through the days of your life that God has given you. Look around and see the beauty of this earth. Enjoy the taste of a strawberry this summer and the smell of a summer day, the touch of loved ones. Hear the words of wisdom and love that come your way. The rivers of challenge, those will come to you as well. So swim strong through them and be strengthened by the struggle and rise again on the other side to find that the small acts of grace and love and beauty that you have known, the truth that you have acquired, the goodness that has been extended to you and given by you have all turned into precious gems of abundant life, of a well-lived life. As you live your life together at Hazelwood Christian Church, may your small acts and your large acts of ministry and grace fill your pockets and fill you with the rich, beautiful, and abundant life that Jesus has promised. And may it help fulfill the kingdom, of God. Let us pray. God, it's good to sit in a rocking chair and be peaceful and calm, but we know you want us also to get up out of that, to swim across the challenges of life, to make changes that will make this world a better place, to start right now. And so move us, Lord, move us out of our rocking chair into your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.